Space, the final frontier. Space Station Ashlyn sits on the edge of Federation space with its companion ship, the USS Delamis Christian. The space around them is full of mystery and strange wonders, where secrets are kept and danger lurks around every corner. The crew of the Delamis Christian must navigate treacherous waters as they work to protect the Federation. But as they peer into the unknown, they will discover that the line between friend and foe is not always clear. They will be tested like never before, and will face challenges that will push them to their limits. Join us on this adventure as we explore the farthest reaches of space and uncover the hidden truths that lie within the shadows. Tabletop Journeys presents Star Trek: Preservations. Welcome, everybody, to what is Preservations Season 2, Episode 5. The episode today is called Fowlers in Wait. Let's go around the room and introduce the players that we have this evening, starting with our illustrious commander.
Thank you, Josh. Hi, everyone. My name is Joe Harney, and I am playing Commander Sabian Tobor, the Trill Commanding Officer of the USS Delamis Christian, a Saber-class Federation Starfleet vessel.
All right, let's go right around in the circle with Lieutenant Najar.
Hi, my name is Glenn Myers. I'm the third to host of Tabletop Journeys, and I play Lieutenant Camdril Najar, the half-Betazoid Chief of Security for the Delamis Christian.
Okay. Lieutenant Tanari?
I'm David Rideout. I play Lieutenant Ovidian Tanari, the Andorian Chief Engineer of the Delamis Christian, and I'm putting the final touches on Lieutenant Najar's lightsaber as we speak.
We are recording on May the 4th. That's good. I'm not sure how I feel about Najar having a lightsaber, though, given what he's done with his...
Najar thinks it's fantastic.
With Tanari having it, because we don't need him running into combat anymore.
Exactly, yeah. As long as he doesn't test it by, like, looking down the barrel of it, right? I was like, that's...
He only needs a dagger-sized one.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, and Lieutenant Narila.
Hi, I'm Wasik, and I'm playing Lieutenant Narila Nilan, our scientist for the Delamis.
Name of the episode is Fowlers in Wait. Stardate is 57726.09, which, if you are carrying the ones at home, is roughly about a week after the beginning of last episode. You were on Celtec when you received new orders from Commodore Pritchard to move to a new planet. So the Delamis Christian has been given orders to proceed to the planet Zunian 3. The planet has reported that they were attacked and that most of their energy generating capabilities and some sub-life support infrastructure has been badly damaged. If you do research on the planet, you will find that it is in a high radiation system. So while the people that live there, or the Zunians that live there, have adapted for that sort of environment, they have also added suborbital life support type systems to help reduce the radiation that makes it down to the surface of the planet, generally making it more habitable and friendlier place to live than previous. But this attack has left that infrastructure badly damaged and in need of repair. And they sent out a high priority mayday call. They are not a Federation planet, but they are Federation friendly. The Federation has previously assisted them with things. They've gone through all their first contact protocols and everything like that. They are a known species, but they are not a Federation world. These orders came down to Commander Tobor at the end of last episode. There was a communication between him and Pritchard. Joe, how much of the details of that conversation would you like to share before I carry on with the rest of the synopsis here?
They're not classified, so all my senior officers get the orders.
Sure. There are the orders, and then there are some details in the conversation that you had with Pritchard, if you recall them. And if you don't recall them, I'm happy to share them. But that's...
I do not recall them.
So yeah. So Pritchard's opinion was that there was something about this entire situation that was a little too convenient, and he smells a trap. He's not quite sure what it is about it that seems off, but there's something about this that seems off. If this is an Epsilon event, it's a sloppy one, which immediately made him suspicious. The other thing that he would tell you is that there is a nearby Federation tug, the U.S. Temerary, which I'll also put in the chat here. The U.S. Temerary is a relatively new vessel. It's only a couple years old, but it is also responding to the emergency call, which, as Pritchard put it in the communication to you, Tobor, that they are not read in, nor should they be read in to any doings with Epsilon Protocol unless absolutely unavoidable and necessary, but that you should take great pains to protect any of that. The intelligence that you have on Epsilon Protocol and the Epsilon species should be considered highly confidential, and that there is no need for them to be read into that. Not disseminating that information. Pritchard doesn't know. This is from the tug is obviously, it's a service vessel from a different, it's not in the Rutledge Battle Group. It's not under Commodore Pritchard's control. He's working behind the scenes to try to keep them from getting there because he doesn't think that they're going to be necessary. But there's a large nebula that surrounds basically this star system that makes communicating with them difficult. If they can hear, they have not responded, but he's not actually sure that the messages are even getting into them from where he's sending them. And so that is where we begin tonight. I know that we're going to have a conference room session in a second to go ahead and compare notes with everybody. But the first thing that you guys need to tell me is how you want to get from Celtac 4 to this planet, given the orders that you have received and the priority that Pritchard seems to be putting on them. You have a couple of options. Your normal cruising speed, which would not put any strain on the engines, would make sure that you wind up in full power. Tanari, you would know there's like a cycling near max warp output that basically you could travel at near maximum warp for about 12 hours, go into a 6-hour cooldown period. It would get you there faster, but it would put some strain on the ship, and there would be some potential for complications in that. You could also pedal to the metal, max warp it, without cycles, which would dramatically increase the odds of damage to the warp engines and to the ship, depending on the priority with which you would like to get there. So let's start there. How would you like to enter that first bit? How fast do you want to get there?
All right, let me pull up the orders you conveniently dropped in. Travel at maximum responsible speeds, that being warp 7 is the kind of standard cruise speed or maximum cruising speed without doing the strain. And unless there's any information that we've brought up between now and then that indicates that there's a time for every hour we delay, X number of 100 people are going to die from radiation poisoning. But like from my understanding, they've been attacked and like the attackers are gone and we're coming in for rescue and recovery. And
the only thing that would augment your perception on that would be Pritchard's discomfort with the other ship arriving. The tug is actually, it's a larger vessel than you are. There are more people on board than that than possible. And you're not sure if that's just Pritchard being paranoid, but he definitely seemed to think that to go ahead and make sure that the Delamis Christian was properly positioned to assume field command of that operation, that getting there first would be better. Now, what you do know about the Tamarari is that because it is a tug and it is used to, it's one of the like the large tugs that kind of evolved out at the end of the Dominion War. So it is used to carrying other starships from where they become derelict to star bases. So its warp engines are exceptionally powerful. It's not currently tugging anything, which means that it can go pretty fast right now because it's empty. So that is definitely a complicating factor, which is why the option is on the table. And basically the end result is that if you want to go cruising speed at warp 7 and just get there, there are ramifications to that decision. If you wanted to go into the 12 and 6 cycling max warp speed, that would be a 2 difficulty challenge to go ahead and get rolling here. Tanari, most likely it would be something down in engineering that you would be responsible for to go ahead and make that happen. And then if you wanted to basically pedal to the metal on, that's actually a more difficult challenge because the possibility of wear and tear on the engines is significant.
Yeah, no, I think at this point, without any discomfort is one thing, but I'm not going to imperil the ship. I want it to be in top fighting form if we arrive and the unknown assailant is still in the system. So we will proceed at maximum cruising speed until less ordered otherwise.
Okay. All right. So you are engaged in cruising speed. So let's go ahead and get in. Joe, the next thing you wanted to do was get into a conversation. Have at it. Senior staff is called to the conference room.
All right. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We are en route to Zunian 3. to respond to their urgent request for unknowns that has done damage to their environment and infrastructure. Firstly, Mr. Tanari, I want to know what information you and your team are able to put together on the nature of the damage done and the type of the attack. If there's any logs, recordings, sensor readings that were taken during it that can be, that have been transmitted out, or if not, when we get there, interface with their local star command to get any of those types of logs.
Josh, that would be the question. Have we gotten any information from them as to what kind of damage they've sustained?
No information at this point other than these are the systems that we have that have been damaged. These are the types of problems that we've had, but they haven't transmitted any sensor data or anything like that. But
now I assume we do have schematics on these systems themselves.
You certainly do. You will find that the systems as reported in the schematics are older. Again, this isn't a Federation planet, so they don't keep up with the most up-to-date stuff. They're probably maybe a generation or two behind modern. Some things that you would see as potential complications with getting things set up would be, first of all, getting your team trained up on using the older technology, making sure that they're familiar with it. You could foresee some EPS conduit incompatibility. There may be adapters that are out of phase or out of sync and need to be retrofitted and stuff like that. So there may be some.
We're thinking maybe like original series era technology.
Exactly.
Yeah, Captain, they've sent us no information on the damage they have suffered. We do have the schematics on the systems there, and we are currently replicating the tools we need to interface with their systems, considering it's a generation out of date.
Very good, Mr. Tanari. Keep on that. Mm-hmm. Like I said, once we get in system, obtain as much information as you can. Lieutenant Neela, based off of the damage reports that we have received and the suspicions information we know about the theoretical subspace weapon that was being talked about at the conference, can you try and reverse engineer or try and understand what occurred to their systems and how it would be damaged in such a way?
I can do my best.
That's all I can ask. Mr. Najjar, you and I, we are going to talk in depth with our guest, Commander Janok, who was caught with his hand in the cookie jar. So we're going to have some long conversations with him and try to unravel this, I dare to say it, with Mr. Tanari in the room, this conspiracy. But I believe we have stumbled into one. Gentlemen and ladies.
I do love that Tanari is the resident conspiracy theorist now. And he has been since episode one. That's the best part.
Well, the best part is Najjar is the conspiracy theorist. Tanari's just paranoid and right.
Hang on now. Let's adjust that parable just a tad, because based on what I've seen, Najjar has been right. Where Tanari is, it's shapeshifters!
Tanari's had a couple recall. Of guesses.
Yeah. But it wasn't shapeshifters.
I do have a couple new links in my holodeck, conspiracy holodeck program.
All right, so Tobor, you said that you and Najjar are going to go down to talk to Janok.
Yeah.
All right, so would that put Tanari in? Will he have the con while you are gone?
Yes, of course.
Fabulous. You have driven the ship before. That's right, you drove the ship last time when you tried to destroy it. That's right.
He didn't actually take phaser shots into a populated area from orbit, but appreciate that. Light war crimes before breakfast.
Just because the ship wasn't designed to go into atmosphere doesn't mean it can't go into atmosphere. It's got good shields. He knows. He built them. So I would imagine that the Domus Christian probably doesn't have many detention cells, and they're probably not very big because the Saber class isn't very large. But when you go down there, Janok is very much in a meditative pose in his cell.
So two quick questions before that, Josh.
Of course.
Did we, because I assume we vacuumed the computer systems of all the satellite orbit station stuff. I know we kind of hand-waved it at the end because we were running short on time.
Yeah, I imagine. Yeah, exactly. Any data on the authorities would have been cooperative in terms of whatever information you wanted to get.
And did we get a copy of the stolen technology stuff plans?
The stolen technology stuff plans. Did you get a copy of them?
I do remember that Commander Tobor had specifically requested from Pritchard that he get us as much information about these stolen plans as possible.
So that's possible. Again, you're still like digesting the information that you've downloaded from their sensors information. But I will tell you that the one thing that has come in is that all of the notes from Bragoff there, from when he worked at Daystrom, all of his notes and project files have been sent.
Well, there you go, Lieutenant. Lieutenant. Yeah. There's a terraquad of information for you to read.
Exactly, yeah. So thousands and thousands of pages of highly detailed technical schematics on subspace theory and its applications. Yeah.
Oh no, well, I'm going to have to go spend some time in the lab.
All right, so Nerila, we'll see you in episode 6. Got it? Yep. Yeah, so you head down to the detention cell.
So I don't want to answer an actual question, because like the witness said that they gave the stolen plans to Jannok, and Jannok gave them some to someone else.
That is what the witness said.
Yes. And did we find evidence of that, including up to and including the plans themselves, like a copy that he kept for himself?
So you found in that information was that he did not actually get nor transmit plans. What he did transmit was information on like location, position, and crew complement of the Dilamas Christian.
All right, now that changes things. All right, let's go talk to the commander, Lieutenant.
Understood, sir. I assume you're taking lead, and I'm simply, maybe not necessarily so simply, but trying to...
You're the trained interrogator.
Very well.
Do your job.
And just real quick, just to go ahead and make sure that I understand, Najjar, you have the Betazoid empathy trait, not telepathy.
Read thoughts, just emotional states, but I pair that with my training for behavior analysis, criminal psychology, etc.
Fabulous. All right. You also note too that is still wearing his Real quick, what did you know about... Just go ahead and make sure. What did you know about Jannok in terms of who he was and who he worked for, etc.? I just want to make sure that I don't screw the pooch and reveal something that is not known.
See, now you're throwing in whether or not I remember. I did sit down and have a conversation with him. I know Lee Winika said he was working on his, like a paper on security stuff or something like that. I know he seemed really fishy. But no matter how many rolls I made, I couldn't seem to actually get any information. So I'm not sure what I would know.
Okay.
Like, I succeeded on a challenge 4 task, and all I got was, yeah, something seems suspicious, but you can't figure out what. So I don't know what I would know.
I see. All right.
And then officially, he was commander of that satellite station, the set of satellites that he was the only organic being that was overseeing it on his shift. Like, he and another officer took, like, turns, like, once a month doing that.
That's the information that I was going for. I just wanted to go ahead and make sure that that seeing him in a Starfleet uniform while he's in his detention cell would not be unusual. Okay.
No badge, of course, but yeah.
Sure, yeah. Yep.
But convicted, he's still...
He understands that he has to relinquish his comm badge. He is, again, sitting in that meditative pose, but his uniform is as impeccable as it was before. He is still wearing his rank insignia, even though he does not have a comm badge. And when he hears you step into the room, he does not like open his eyes nor acknowledge, but you do see him raise an eyebrow in your direction.
Good. I walk over to Najjar's desk and I sit down behind the chair and just prop my feet up on the desk and watch.
What was the guy's name again?
Jannok.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Jannok. Different circumstances than our last meeting.
He will not break meditation for a moment after you speak to him. But then when he is good and ready, he will uncross his legs and stand up and ensure that his pants are straight and his tunic is tight when he opens his eyes and says, "Good afternoon, Lieutenant."
So can you tell me how we came to be here?
I know how I was came to be here. How I came to be here.
Fantastic. Why don't you give me a rendition of that?
I was performing duties as handed to me via orders, and I have now been detained.
Was one of those duties releasing information on the crew complement and capabilities of this vessel to the very people we were here to investigate?
That is not who I released them to, but yes, that was an order. That was a request from the people that I respond to.
And who were those people?
Very secretive.
I see. So you're admitting then that you are serving a master outside of Starfleet?
I did not say that.
I realize that those are not the words that you use. That's very true. I'm working with the implications of your statement, Mr. Jannok. Just to get a baseline to see where he's at. What's his emotional state currently?
What would you normally have to roll for?
Control security.
Yep. And do I set the difficulty or is there a static difficulty that you always have to hit with that?
It seems to change depending on the person. Vulcans are harder because they're harder to read emotions from.
But also, based on the scenario, it could be also an opposed test if the target is aware, in which I assume he would be very much aware.
Sure, yeah, he's very much aware, but he's also, I think that it probably is one of those things, like, it depends on how much he's trying to go ahead and not reveal and stuff like that. But at this point, Janak is not trying necessarily to go ahead and hide anything. He is merely being curt, as Tanari said in the chat there, he's being Vulcan and snarky at you. So let's say a difficulty one.
Difficulty one, I don't need extra dice. A 3 and a 14. 3 will qualify as a crit because of my focus in criminal psychology and behavior analysis, if you agree that it applies.
Yeah, look at you. That's what you're doing. So you're gaining momentum already on your first check. Yeah, you are able to ascertain he seems freshly out of meditation and calm and highly controlled. He seems very in tune with his emotions right now.
What's his rank?
He's commander.
Commander Tanakh, I really don't want to spend the entire afternoon verbally sparring and trying to get information from you that you do not wish to share. But that's my job. I'm hoping that you're going to make it easier for me and that we could just have a conversation and you could tell me what's going on.
When you ask questions that I can answer, then I will do.
Logically, you have the ability to answer who you report to.
Unless I don't.
But you've already refused. And you must understand that as the evidence that we have indicates that you've betrayed Starfleet and sent classified information about this vessel and its crew complement to people who were waiting for us in ambush, I'm sure that you could see how things don't really look great. So if there's a way that in any part of this was official and you don't feel that you've committed any crimes, you need to just talk to me. And you need to do it now.
I appreciate the position that you are in, Lieutenant, but I am asking you to imagine a scenario where that information is maybe not known to me. And what the situation that I was in was one where I believed that I was doing the right and proper thing according to what my orders are and have been since I was stationed at Celtac 4, and that how those orders are delivered and who they are sent from is not something that I would reveal.
It doesn't matter what scenarios I can imagine, as just as well as I do, that in your current position, and with me on this side of the force field, and you on that side of the security field, and the evidence that we have, imaginings aren't going to undo this situation. Imaginings aren't going to get you out of that cell. My imaginings are not going to save you from court-martial. You need to be truthful with me, and you need to tell me what's going on.
I recognize that I am on one side of this force field and that you are on the other, and that you are doing your job as you have been ordered to do. And he will glance over at Commander Tobor and just acknowledge the rank in the room. I recognize the situation that you are in, and I recognize the bullet points on the data pad that you have, and that you have constructed the narrative about what you believe those bullet points must mean. And again, I say that you are free, as would be necessary for your position, to deliver those bullet points to whoever you feel would be most applicable in this situation.
Walk me through the logic, Commander, of risking this very scenario of going to prison for compromising classified information. That's the problem I am struggling with, because every Vulcan I know who has joined Starfleet does so to serve. It is logical to serve the greater Federation's needs, and that together we are stronger and more diverse and richer than apart. So I'm sure there's a lot of extenuating circumstances, and that is what I need to know in order to protect the Federation.
I did not ask why I was asked to report on the position of the ship who had responded. I merely did so. It would be illogical to contraband every order that I received for something which in itself is not classified. Your position was not a matter of secret, was it? Is there something about your vessel which is a secret?
No, not per se, but telling someone the position of a Starfleet vessel without knowing the exact reason or why they wish to know this information, it is sensitive information. We do not transmit that information to, as I'm sure you're aware, to external parties outside of Starfleet Command. So did you not think it odd that they requested such a piece of information?
As you said, we do not transfer that information to parties outside of Starfleet Command. That is where I understood my orders to be coming from.
And where were they coming from?
I have not had any information delivered to me which supersedes that assumption.
Can you help me understand understand how you came to the assumption that you were reporting to Starfleet Command or classified parties within. I work in sensitive areas of security as well. I understand and appreciate your unwillingness to divulge who you directly report to. But if you could help me understand what's going on, and that way this could just be a very delicate misunderstanding between two service branches that are compartmentalized for security purposes.
I think that you have answered the question as you have asked it. This is a misunderstanding between two intensely secure branches that are on the same side. That is a perfectly logical explanation.
Is that the explanation you have been operating under?
Is there another more logical conclusion?
The conclusion would be based upon the evidence that you've received personally, that you're getting orders from a legitimate authority.
Shinnok reaches over to the little table that's in his detention cell, which currently has like an empty food tray and a glass of water, and moves his glass ever so slightly so that it is in proper alignment with the corner of his table, as if that seemed to have been irritating him, like a slick sand in his shoe. You have already provided a logical explanation, which would mean that it was not necessary to detain me, and yet you have found it applicable in this situation to detain me, which leads me to the conclusion that clearly you have another idea about what I was doing.
It's a completely illogical statement.
Do you have any evidence that I was doing anything other than what I have said I have done?
So we have witnessed testimony on Toltec 4 that indicated and has been corroborated that sensitive stolen Starfleet technology had been transmitted to you and through you and your station to parties unknown.
That has nothing to do with the line of questioning that you have opened up with. It has nothing to do with why I was requested the information on the position of your ship.
The line of questioning that I opened up with was simply asking you for an explanation. I made no assumptions. I didn't accuse you. I simply asked if you thought you weren't sending an official. You chose to provide no explanation.
I'd like you to make a roll, please. Difficulty one again.
Am I emotional stating?
Yes.
One success.
You're getting a rise out of him.
Okay.
Lieutenant, I have been put into a cell and had my comm badge removed when I was then approached by the commanding officer and the lead security officer of the ship which has detained me. To assume that this is not an interrogation...
I by no means said that it wasn't an interrogation. I simply said I didn't accuse you specifically of wrongdoing. I said this is the evidence that we have and asked you to explain it, which you refused to do. Logically, that says to me and all of my Starfleet security training that if you cannot provide me an explanation for that, behind that force field is exactly where you belong.
Why would I be detained for transferring information to my superiors about the position of your ship?
Because that information was on the data pads of the assailants that tried to kill us on the planet. And we have evidence, and the evidence in the data trail came from your security satellite.
That's not information that I knew.
Could the Sunian androids you oversee have been compromised somehow?
I suppose that it is possible to compromise Sunian androids.
Most anything is possible in this universe.
I don't know how they function, so I don't know how to answer that question. I am not a scientist, nor am I an engineer.
That is fair.
As opposed to looking for or offering options, why don't you theorize for me how that information wound up on those data pads and how it was transmitted to the criminal organization that attacked us from your security satellite?
Perhaps the criminal organization has advanced technology and intercepted the message.
So you were the sole operator of a highly advanced security network that guards an entire planet using Starfleet encryption and Starfleet technology.
Perhaps
I'm not going to that is impossible. It is highly unlikely. Does not seem to be a logical explanation.
See, Mr. Najjar, if it was me, I would have said perhaps the criminal organization traded the local government, planetary government, and obtained the information that way.
Indeed.
Also,
would have seemed to be the most likely to be able to be proved.
Which would be exactly why, if you'll remember, Commander Tobor, our initial line of questioning was simply about who he reported that information to if he didn't think that he was doing anything wrong. Because whomever he reported that information to, if he did nothing wrong, there's a very solid and logical chance he's looking directly in Commander Janok's eyes as he says the second part, would indicate that the person that you have reported to, or someone that they're working with, has been turned and released that information.
Maybe I'm just bad at my job. Perhaps I am not skilled enough to be commander of a vessel.
Why would you demean your own character, ability, and career if you're not trying to hide or cover something?
Because you asked me to theorize and come up with possible scenarios, which would imply that I did nothing criminally wrong.
Okay, let me rephrase, because we both know you are not bad at your job. I've seen your Starfleet record. I've spoken to you in your own security station. I've seen the way it was run. We both know that you are not bad at your job. So why don't you theorize with me with plausible theories as to why? Or perhaps, as opposed to theories, you simply, for the first time, straight forward, tell me the truth.
Have I been dishonest with you?
By omission, yes. You have refused to answer any of the questions that we've asked you directly. All you have been willing to do is wild theory and speculation with the most unlikely scenarios. While the most likely scenario, if we're looking at this logically, is that you released the information. We're trying to figure out how that could have gone differently, and you're doing absolutely nothing to try to help us with that.
Perhaps I am not trying to change your mind. Perhaps I recognize that this little sortie that we are on. Where is it you're taking me anyway? Or is that classified?
I don't think that it's anything you specifically need to know in your current situation. In the event that you convince us that you do not need to be required to be reconciled to that cell, then perhaps we would be willing to discuss it. But right now, we are operating and we have no choice but to operate under the assumption that you are a potential traitor to Starfleet. So we would not give you that information.
I understand your position, Lieutenant.
But I will also point out that through all of that sideways talk out the side of your Vulcan mouth, that you still did not do one single thing to tell me the truth. You continued to speak in maybes and what-ifs and have not provided one single factual or logical piece of information to prove or disprove your guilt or your innocence. You are simply trying to, you seem to be simply trying to delay and obfuscate.
I am not trying to obfuscate. I do not have the information that you ask for.
You have at least some of it. Lee, we have indicated to you, and he actually pulls up his datapad, puts it in the, near the security field where he can see it, and shows him the proof that we found on the datapads of the criminals that were attacking us, and the data trail that says it comes from his station. So either you or someone else along the chain that you reported to released this information. If you maintain that it was not you, someone else did. So we need to know who you sent this information to.
I understand the request that you are asking for, Lieutenant, and I tell you, that is not information that I can provide you. And I need you, in your most thought-provoking manner, to imagine a scenario where that would be the case. And why, even under fear or threat of continued detainment, that continued detainment would not be enough of a deterrent for me to say who that is.
No, I appreciate your dedication to security and understand the position I'm putting you in.
I think then in that situation, Commander, you would also understand that when we get to wherever you decide to drop me, when those officers come involved and when those officers who take your information and they meet with my commanding officers and they go into a dark secret room and they converse, I think you and I both know what the outcome of that discussion would be.
There are some likely scenarios.
So I ask why I remain to be detained.
Because those conversations have yet to be had.
And are you the arbiter to determine whether they're appropriate or not? I not presumed innocent?
You are under arrest pending investigation and trial.
Commander Shinnok, we have more than enough evidence for you to be under arrest and detained pending further investigation and court-martial by the Federation. Whether your superiors do anything about that or not, that is a fact, and that is why you were behind my security field.
Lieutenant, appreciate the perspective. There is other alternative reasonable scenarios that couldn't come from this. To answer your question from earlier, once we finish with this current situation that has arisen, I'll be delivering you to Aslan Station, where the appropriate authorities can meet in their dark, smoke-filled room and have those conversations.
That is not a space station that I have been to. I look forward to the voyage.
Excellent. So, Josh, did you see the chat?
I did see the chat. I need you to refine your question a little bit for me, because the question that you're asking, the answer to the question that you're asking is not, it's a halfway yes and a halfway no. So the question, just to go ahead and say it on the air here, is do we have evidence that the stolen tech plans were actually sent to Shinnok? The stolen tech plans certainly traveled through his network. Yes, that's a yes. The question is whether or not he ever had them, because there is no evidence that he ever had them.
Because that was, I thought, and maybe I misunderstood Liwanika and the Orion witness was like, I was in the room when the data chip was handed to the Starfleet commander.
That very well may be. And I would let you to go. And what I would say is that I...
Because that's so... Let me back up. That is what Joe, the player, is operating under. This subspace weapon developed in contravention of the Kittimer Accords is floating out there, and he knows where it went.
That was what it sounded like Liwanika indicated, yeah.
Sure. So let me... just to go ahead and kind of clarify, because I don't think that we would get there by running the interrogation, or we'd have... unless we ran it all night long. So let's go ahead and clarify.
So that's what Tobor is drilling at.
Yeah, let's assume that this conversation... Exactly, right. For another 2 hours, with spotlight in his face and everything like that. His assertion, Janok's assertion, is that he delivered the box. You're absolutely right. But he was never told what was in the box. He never looked in the box, nor did he ask what the other side was doing with the box. His orders were to deliver the box.
And he's unwilling to tell us who he delivered the box to.
He maintains that he does not know.
Okay. But like where he delivered it to, would he give us that? I went and I dropped it off at a post office on Telluride or whatever.
Sure, but it'd be more technological than that. Because it'd be more like I was given if I were to go ahead and talk in 2024 language, it'd be like I was given an IP address to go ahead and FTP a file into, and I don't know what happened to it after I left it there. And that's very much his assertion, is that he is not denying the broad facts of what you are alleging him to do. What he doesn't know are all of the detailed questions that you are asking for. And so
I'll change the perspective, because I will inform him that it is what you were requested to deliver was a stolen plans prototype for an illegal weapon. And I, as a fellow Starfleet officer, I need your help to recover these before they fall into the wrong hands, up to and including Starfleet, because we can at least where he FTP'd the file to, mm-hmm. and at least start our investigation there.
I assume that you have that information. That would have been something that you would have been able to get from the transfer logs, but does not explain why I am continuing to be detained. I can be helpful here, Commander. I can help this. I know how those systems work. As Najar said, I built them by hand, and if you do not feel that I am poor at my job, then I can be helpful here.
So Tobor, who's sitting at the desk with his boot up on the leans up, takes his foot up and thumps the heel down, and on the force field goes down on the Elkar's table. Give me your word as a Starfleet officer.
Give you my word as a Starfleet officer that I will be helpful.
Help me protect, continue to ensure the safety of the Federation. If you do not know what you were asked to do by your superiors, then help me correct that mistake.
I can give you this promise, Commander. I will help to the best of my ability until it begins to contravene other orders from superior officers. I will not violate those orders. Cannot.
That's fair enough. Just there's orders I am operating under that I cannot violate. I understand.
I am sure that there are.
Mr. Najar, see that the commander is given limited access and assist him in tracking down where this file went. I want to know by the time we get to Zumi in 3. And then I stand up and head out.
As you pass Najar, you note that he says, yes, sir, but his jaw is fairly set and his eyes are a little black, and there might be a vein pulsing in his temple.
Janok takes his glass from his table and looks at you, Najar, and says, Lieutenant, I presume that I could continue to use this.
The glass?
Yes.
Of course, but for what purpose?
Sentimental reasons. I keep a souvenir of every detainment cell that I'm put in.
Excellent. After. Large is your collection?
That's classified. After you.
I'll show you to your quarters.
Cool. So you show Janok quarters, and I'm assuming that there's a pad station in his room that he can go ahead and start basically pouring through the sensor data and the transmission data that you were able to download from Celtic 4?
Yes, but first, beforehand, the computer terminal in his room will access and set to restricted access per the commander's instructions, so that he only has access to that information, and basic non-classified information, does not have access to the communications array, etc.
Okay, that's fine. All right.
Main ship functions, etc., locked out.
Now, I got my comm badge. And Mr. Tanari, I need you in my ready room.
And that's subspace-based communications. He can have his comm badge back, and he can comm around the ship. But
Especially because we want to know where he is.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I will also assign my most subtle, who I'm sure will get caught anyway, subtle security officers to tail him. Sorry, Tanari.
Oh, no, not even subtle. I want the security person in the room watching over his shoulder while he's
a thing.
Oh, I'm sorry, Commander. You didn't make that clear. I thought you were giving him run of the ship. That's part of why I was so pissed off. I will cheerfully leave a security detail to escort him about the ship and make sure he doesn't get into things that he doesn't want to be in. There will be two at all times.
In any case, Tanari will take the 10 steps from the bridge to the ready room.
Yep. So like the turbo lift opens as where you're walking this way, and I come down around and we go in.
As you're walking by him, Tanari with me right now.
Yes, sir.
I brief you. Jinnok says he blind delivered packages per his orders from higher classified sources. I'm asking him to help Najjar track down where it was sent. I need you to run a background, intensive background computer trace of everything he does and make sure he doesn't touch anything in the computer core related to Epsilon.
Yes, sir.
Because one of my suspicions is that this was set up to look like to put a trained espionage security agent on my ship and get more information on Epsilon.
You think that maybe he was placed here by some higher-ups within Starfleet itself?
Starfleet or other parties unknown. Post-Dominion War, the intelligence apparatus has been cagey, and sometimes the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing and vice versa. And I need to see if that's what this scenario is, or if he's working for a third party that has threats amicable to the Federation, or if he's just quote-unquote doing his job. So I want you to electronically crawl up his backside and see anything. I want to be able to see the fingerprints on each key he taps on this Elkar screen.
You're very vividly put, sir. Player information. Najjar scanned him with one of the new tricorders, correct?
Yes, correct.
So he was not...
Correct. He is...
Okay.
And I've read him since then, and he had the normal motion and whatnot of a Vulcan mind.
Okay. Very well, sir. With your permission, I'll get started on that.
All right.
Cool.
Take the con so you can go down to engineering.